And you can be like, yo, can you pass me that cup? And like, yo, can you pass me that pussy?
Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Nick.
And I'm sleepy. I've stayed up. I stayed up all night playing video games. And it was fun, but I guess we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, before we get started here, shout out. We got a couple of subscriptions coming in. It's not even the first of the month, is it?
No, these guys are going crazy.
Okay. Man. All right. Shout out to Coffee Germ subscribing for the first time, I believe.
I think so.
Very cool. Nick gifting a sub. Thank you. Thank you. And Cricket Soldier, 17 months.
17 months.
Long time.
Yep. Keep long, long time over here.
All right. Our new podcast, Movies on the DL, is coming out March 14th. We wanted to let you know that that is coming out. And also that March 13th, the day before, a Saturday, is going to be our movie night on our Discord community. We're going to be watching Her, the 2013 Joaquin Phoenix sci-fi movie. Should be pretty good. So try to be there. And also, we're switching things around with the Patreon. We've got some new rewards, different tiers. One of the things that we've added at the very top tier is you get access to just about everything on Discord, including our crew channel. This is the channel that we use only between the casters. Some real behind-the-scenes stuff going on back there, so you can snoop in. You can't type in there, but you can read what we're talking about. And hear all our crazy ideas and all the behind-the-scenes backstage stuff as we plan things, you know, just argue over what fonts to use and things like that.
Especially today, some fireworks in there today. And you can see who we like, who we don't like, all the kinds of guys that we talk. Mad shit in there.
Yeah.
Mostly Cricket we don't like.
All right. And just a heads up, my allergies were killing me today. So if I sneeze or sound a little congested, that's why. We're gonna push through though.
And just a reminder, we're gonna start sending out the t-shirts for the Patreon reward. Every year you get a t-shirt at the $10 tier. And it resets at around this time every year. So if you're not on that, you can jump on that, and then in 3 months you'll get your shirt, and then next year around this time you'll get your second shirt. So, yeah.
Cool.
Another thing is, don't hate on my man Cricket. We're going to talk about that later. That man's a homie.
All right. Well, let's talk about On the Radar, games that we want to play or that came to our attention this week. I want to start out with one called Star Wars Republic Commando. This is a remastered version, apparently. So, this game is coming out for the PS4 and the Switch, the remastered version. And I'm a little confused by that because they've had other remastered versions of like Jedi Outcast come out for PS4 and Switch. And I think it's just the same kind of version, but it comes out for the different consoles. You can play Republic Commando on Steam, on Xbox, Game Pass, I think. It's on there. So when I saw remastered, I was kind of excited, like, oh, that'd be cool. You know, this game came out maybe around 2005-ish.
Right.
And here's the thing. Like, I saw a few articles about this, and one of them was just like, one of the best Star Wars games is coming out for PS4 and Switch. And I'm like, this is, I don't know. There's a lot of Star Wars games. I'm not going to say it's one of the worst. It's not a great game. I bought this on release, was very excited to play it, played it through once or twice, played the multiplayer a bunch, and went back and tried to revisit it several times. It doesn't hold up very well. The whole conceit of this game is it's a first-person shooter. You're playing these clone troopers, right? These are like special ones, though. I guess it's supposed to be like what, the Bad Bunch. What's that new show coming out on Disney Plus?
Yeah, the Bad...
Bad Batch.
The Bad Batch.
That's what it is. Yeah. So it's kind of like that where...
They're extra clone-y, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a little more rough and tumble than the rest. You know, they got cool nicknames. So you play a squad. You play one of these characters, and you can give commands to your squads and tell them to do things. It sounds like a cool concept, but it doesn't really execute very well. Like, basically, you tell them, like, you get to these checkpoints and you say, okay, open that door and you take cover over there. But it doesn't really, I don't know. I didn't think it really worked all that well. And this game, I always remember Republic Commando as the game that has the weakest melee attack in any game I've ever played. Yeah.
Yeah.
In multiplayer, I was just curious one time because they didn't seem to do anything. So I just went full melee and just tried to punch people until I could kill them. And it takes so many hits to do to kill somebody with melee. It is so weak. It's just like a weird little note that I always remember about this game.
It's like trying to kill people. Like if you really want to fucking rub it in on TF2, you kill somebody with the scouts melee, because he has to make bat. It even worse, I would switch it to a fish, so I would get when you kill somebody with it, it's a fish kill. But you have to, like, if you want to kill a heavy, you got to hit him like 30-40 times. I think you got to hit him a lot.
If you get him in the head, then it's less hits, crit,
right?
Yeah, and you can also stun him with the bonk, and there's things that you can do, but yeah, the melee is incredibly weak, and usually in most games they really give you more damage on the melee. In Halo, isn't it like one shot if you melee
someone? most of the time in Halo it was usually one shot to get the shields down and then one shot to kill, so usually just two total. But if the other person had their shields down, you could just bonk them once and they would die.
Yeah. And a lot of games I feel are like that. You know, if you attack someone from the back in Call of Duty, it breaks into an animation and that's like a one shot kill.
That's how it is now in Halo. They have like the assassination animations where you sneak up behind them and you one shot kill them. But yeah,
is Call of Duty the one where they would rip the dog tags off as he killed them? Or is that?
Yeah, that was like a thing for like two of the Call of Duty games, that like it would be like an animated kill, and at the end or the beginning of the animation, it would involve ripping the dog tags off. And the reason being is that whenever you assassinate someone, you got their dog tags. But that actually started with Battlefield Bad Company. You would bonk somebody and then you would get their dog tags. And then if you killed, like, for example, like a DICE employee, you would get like their custom dog tags, and you would also get like a reward, which was like, I killed a DICE employee dog tag.
Damn.
Okay.
Pretty cool. About these, like, squad, you're in a squad, but you're commanding the squad, you're the captain or whatever. Almost always it doesn't work very well. And then on top of that, you get to a point where like, I don't think I really have to command, like, if you just,
I'll just run through and kill everybody. Yeah. Why do I need to be given, like,
exactly?
They're doing default, all this strategy. Yeah.
Their default settings is to like move forward and attack. Mm-hmm. You can alter that a little bit, but that's all you can basically do.
Yeah.
Never done.
No. And they've tried to do, I want to say the first time they really tried to do it was in Daikatana, you know, that famous John Romero game that went horribly wrong. But that game, you had one partner that followed you around, and they had so many issues with that. There's been a community patch that has kind of fixed a lot of that, but on release, like, that game really didn't work well. But they've attempted to do that in several games, the whole squad thing or partner thing.
I feel like in this game, like, the thing that they were advertising, I remember when, like, being a little younger and being like, oh, this seems really cool. And like the one thing that they were like advertising is that it was supposed to be like Rainbow Six or like Ghost Recon, where you could do exactly that. Like the squad leader tell your guy to put his back against this wall and then fire in when you go in and all that stuff. And like you said, it just never really translates well.
Yeah.
The more tactical Star Wars.
It happens in other games too, where they just introduce something that seems really cool and they really play it up in a gameplay trailer. And then when you actually play the game and you're like, no, I'm just going to mash this button.
Yeah.
that seems to work pretty well. Yeah. I'll just keep doing that.
Or the other option is to kill everything yourself. And then your squad mates are just behind you, just there to revive you just in case you fall.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works. If you ever play Left 4 Dead single player, that's just how it works. They just all cower behind you. And you're the only one just...
Yeah, they don't help at all. You know, there was that one game I played, Clive Barker's Jericho, where you have a whole team and you can switch between the team members.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that one came out in mid to late 2000s.
Wasn't that horror game where you're in a prison?
There might have been a part where you're in a prison. I don't know. But it's the one where you have like a group of six people. They're part of this like special supernatural team that handles like supernatural events, kind of like Fear, I guess, that game. But you can switch in between them during combat and they all have different attacks and different abilities, so it made it a little bit more interesting.
Cool. What else we got? I've played two of these games already. Did you pick up Urtuk, Nick?
No, I was taking a look at it, and it looks amazing. I know you brought it up a while ago, and it seems like a couple of people are actually streaming it right now, like on Twitch. And I always love the that art style. I forgot what game it is. It's like Darkest an RPG Dungeon. Game, like a dungeon crawler. What's it called?
Darkest Dungeon.
Kind of. Darkest. I love that art style. Yeah. And then just the way the animations are in this game and the character design look really good. I do love a tactical game every now and then. I think the way this game would really appeal to me, though, is if it was like on a phone or maybe the Switch. But I'll probably pick up this game. I've been saying that a lot about the previous games. I've picked them up, and then I've returned most of them.
Yeah.
Just because it's just like, all right, is this really worth, you know, 50 or 30 bucks? And, you know, I'm barely enjoying it. But you never know. Like, mostly strategy games, you know, I have 1,000 hours in Total War Warhammer, so...
No, this game is good, man. Yeah, it's one of these things where I picked it up for the aesthetic, and then you start playing it, and it's actually a really good tactics game. What keeps it fresh and keeps you going is there's a lot of classes, like a ton.
There's a lot of class mixing too. If I have read correctly, right?
I'm not sure. I played it for probably 3 hours. I don't think I got to the class mixing unless it's doing it automatically. But yeah, it's super gory, but. Yeah, it's fun, man. I had a good time. I'd recommend it. I think it's like $17.99 or something. You can play it off my account too, if you want.
Yeah, might have to check it out that way.
It's only $17.99 on Steam right now, 10% off.
Yep,
pretty good reviews. Okay, you know, there was a game that I did want to bring up as well called Nox Archaist.
I saw it on the radar.
It was recommended on our Discord. And what's crazy about this, it's just Nox, N-O-X, and then I believe Archaist with an A. But what's strange about this game is you look at the graphics, and they are so old school. This is like hardcore 80s old school graphics. And, you know, it might be a good RPG game, but the game is $25. And I saw that price, and I was like, wow, like how hard of a time would you have selling this game for $25? We're looking at it right now, and you can just, you know, you can see that it's just, it looks exactly like a game I've seen before that I can't recall. I don't know. Maybe I want to say that second Legend of Zelda game on the NES, but even lower graphics. Like they are very, very old. Like this could run on a 80s computer. But I don't know. It's something says like, hey, if they're charging that much and the graphics are that bad, the gameplay has got to make up for it and be absolutely amazing.
Well, how are the reviews? How little it has?
There's very few of them, yeah. But they are positive.
Okay.
And it's not in early access. Like it's out to buy. I think it recently came out. Yeah. December 2020. So not that long ago. I don't
12
know.
12 whole reviews, dude. This is crazy.
This thing better be winning Emmys with fucking and writing awards and Peabody awards for how bad this looks.
So speaking of like terrible graphics, Loop Hero, I know you guys have put it on there a few times. I just haven't put it on because I talked about it like 4 weeks ago or something like that. So when more information comes out, then I'll circle back. But like three people have recommended me talk about it again.
Yeah, so. That game's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah, and then I'm putting Curse of the Dead Gods on there. I own it already, but it did have its full release 1.0. Mm-hmm. I plan on checking it out this week and get back to you guys. But I mean, even based on what I had already played before 1.0, it was worth the price of admission. It's a really good game. I think if it wasn't for Hades, because it's similar.
Even kind of looks like it.
But like
the title art is what I'm talking about. The game itself kind of looks like it too, but just like the font and the text, the way they made it look.
But also the camera angle, the attacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot going on. But this is a darker game where you have to control your madness and how crazy you're going. A lot of Darkest Dungeon stuff in here, especially the art too. I think this would have been the breakout roguelike last year if it wasn't for Hades. But really? Now, yeah, it's very, very good. It just, you know, didn't get its due. Sometimes you come out and you're up against Star Wars at the box office, right, Bob?
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, I'll let you know. It's already good. It's already worth it, but I'll let you know how much better it got.
Cool. All right, last game I wanted to bring up is called Fights in Tight Spaces. I saw when this game was announced. It just came out February 24th, and I saw it, and I was going to bring it up, but we had so much for the On the Radar section that I didn't want to add yet another thing. But this is a... It looks like an isometric turn-based tactics game, but it is card-based combat. You know, you have a deck of cards, you pull some random ones, they allow you to use certain moves, which I feel like is a real popular thing right now, and I really enjoy those games. And this has a very interesting look to it. It looks almost like Super Hot, but in an isometric, it's all, everything is white. It's all white, white everything, except the characters, which are, well, you are black. You are like this dark silhouette character, and then it looks like there's some characters that are like heavily shaded in one particular color, either red, green, purple, whatever. So it's very striking visually, but it could be good. And believe some people on Discord have played this and really liked it as well.
Really cool, man. Really cool. As far as like, it kind of looks like Hotline Miami if you were to like slow everything down to a
make it turn-based and card, yeah, and use card-based combat.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Which I don't think there's ever been a game like that that's used cards.
Cards and tactical turn-based? I'm not sure. Especially
yeah, I don't
know. Not melee. This is interesting.
Yeah. What's the price on this? Let's take a look up there. It is $22.49.
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad. $22.49. All right. All right. Some good ones this week. Some interesting ones. Some different things. We're kind of in that lull right now. You know, we're after Christmas. We're in like the early part of the year. Usually not a lot of games, not a lot of big titles happening right now.
Yep.
It seems to be that some of the games that we're playing in the community and things like that are like ones that have been overlooked in the past or like lower budget games. I know you were playing Pulsar with the community. How did that go?
Lower budget, dude. You're talking about top notch.
Well, it's a small team. This game is $25, and at games like this, I balk at that price. I'm like, 25, that's kind of where my limit is. $20 is like, okay, I'll take a chance on it. But for some reason, once you go beyond that, it's like, I don't know. But I'm so glad that I have this game. This is such a great game. It's made by a very small team, so the updates don't come out very quick. And we've played it before, we've talked about it before, but what we've started doing is... Sniper, me, several other people in the Discord, we are part of a role-playing game that we've all made backstories, and we've got like a backstory for the mission as well. And now we're all on one ship that goes out and has adventures and kind of, you know, it's RP stuff. It's D&D.
What's the name of the ship?
The ship is the Pulsar Skate.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a deep cut. That's what you guys Star named Wars it? Fans.
Oh, okay.
You guys were taking this shit serious because I hopped in not knowing that I forgot that you guys were RPing. I hopped in and I was like, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And everybody ignored me and everybody stayed in character. I was like, "I'll just sneak out of here."
Yeah, get the fuck off our ship, dude. How'd you get on?
Yeah. Well, I play a robot, and we've got one other robot, and we're both using an application called VoiceMod. Great little application, by the way. Although it's not
free. How does it feel to be yourself?
Yeah, I know, right? But I'm using a voice mod that makes me sound like a robot, very monotonous. It kind of helps because doing the voices and role-playing stuff I could never do. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. Unless it was like, I could probably do like a Southern accent or something.
Connery was really good. And
Sean Connery was not good.
It was good. It was good enough for D&D.
I don't know. It's not just being able to do like, say, a line or something. It's like keeping it up for 2 hours can be difficult. But it was pretty good. We're using a mod in this because we've got so many people that are participating in this game. In Pulsar Lost Colony, I should always say Pulsar Lost Colony because there's other Pulsar games out there. But in Pulsar Lost Colony, there is 5 people on a team, I want to say. There's a captain, pilot, engineer, scientist, and weapons. We're using a mod that allows you to play with more people, but it's kind of weird. So we had 2 engineers, and very quickly it was just like... Oh, like one of us can do something and the other person doesn't have much to do. right? Like there wasn't a lot of room for two people there, especially when you're role playing. So I don't know. I may switch my character to weapons because there's multiple guns on the ship that you can man. So I feel like that would be a little more fitting.
Is there an actual robot character, or you guys just...
There's three races. There's robot, human, and Silvassi. Oh, okay. Silvassi are like these weird aliens that don't need oxygen and wear a little, like, space helmet. Yeah.
I pulled out Bobby's character sheet here. He wrote a backstory like he's fucking writing a screenplay, dude. It doesn't mention his character at all.
It does. My character's not in it. He's being spoken about.
I love how you put more effort in this than our goddamn D&D campaign, you ass.
Well, I mean, like, I had to do the backstory, and then I was just like, I don't know, what do I do? And then I had an idea, and then it developed more and more, and then I thought, what if I just make the whole thing like two guys at a bar having a conversation, and they're talking about my character, and then later you find out at the very end that the guy that was being told the story, that person is the pilot. So the pilot kind of knows my mysterious background, which we don't even know is true, because just some random guy at a bar was just telling the story.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I went a little overboard.
Could you imagine if this is the best shit you've ever done? Like, you just knocked it out of the park. Fucking women are crying in the streets after reading it.
Well, I don't know about that, but this game is fantastic, man. Like, this is a game that I would love to play more of, but it really requires having a team of people. And a team of people. There's so much to explain about the game. Like, if somebody's new, and you can't really, you could play with like one or two, I suppose. But it's just so great when you get a team of people that are committed to playing it.
So what happens? You guys get a mission done?
Oh, you know what did happen? We died on like our second. I don't even know if we made it to our first mission, but we totally blew up.
We died on the way, and then someone had the bright idea. They're like, wow. It was awesome that we just died in a simulation of our mission and not the real mission. Right. We were like, oh, okay, we'll roll with that.
We'll roll with that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, and I think this is part of the mod where you have multiple, you have more than five people and more than one person can play each class. When I reloaded after the simulation, my talent points reset to what the other engineer had, and I lost all my gear, like just completely gone. So I was a little disappointed about that.
Sounds like you guys might have to be starting over, huh? Or at least your character.
I don't know. I don't know if I switch my character to a weapon specialist, if I get to choose my talent points again. It's not a huge deal. It really isn't. But there still is a Pulsar Lost Colony is already like, there's some issues that you'll run into, some technical things, some little things. It's a very small team. So when you put mods on top of that, you're just kind of magnifying a lot of problems.
Sure. They need to add like more classes like urologist or therapist, just something to help around the crew.
I don't know. I don't know. I think five is good, man. I think five is good.
I played the Outriders demo. This is the game where I saw, you know, every once in a while, your fucking trailer just tickles all the right jimmies, you know?
This game is supposed to be like Destiny, right? Or Destiny or Anthem.
That's going
to
be the closest. Closest game is going to be Destiny for sure. Okay. But I just like the look of this a lot more. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic. There you go. With, it's like, I guess, cyberpunk. Because everything's gone to shit and they still have laser guns. So there you go. So it's by Square Enix and the graphics are pretty nice. I've definitely seen better, but you know, we're talking AAA title here. They're great. They're really good graphics, but like in 2021, you got to be coming harder than this. I feel like sometimes it looks fantastic. Other times, not so hot. I'm playing this game. I'm going through the story. You have to go through the tutorial or the prologue in order to play multiplayer. The camera is super janky. Story is just kind of like whatever. And I'm playing it. I'm like, oh man, this sucks. I'm really not going to like this. It's too bad because I had high hopes for it. And then I got through the prologue, got with JP Diddy, and we start playing. And the combat's super fun. The combat was probably the closest it felt like was kind of like The Division, but way more dynamic, man. Like, because I guess they have melee bad guys too, and they'll just rush you. Like 12 guys will rush you. You have to move. It's not just ducking. You have to move constantly. You have to go behind their lines. The lines are shifting all the time, and it's nuts. You have three special moves, like 1, 2, and 3, and you can, as you level up, more options are available, but more spaces aren't. So, you know, you get your three and whichever ones you like the most. An interesting thing, and I might be wrong about this, but I think this is how it works. There's frontline characters. There's four classes. There's a tank, a mid, a rogue, kind of, and like a sniper, right? If you're in your role, you actually get healed when you do damage. So if the tank is killing people at melee range, he's getting healed the whole time. So it's telling you, you know, it's incentivizing you to actually fulfill your role. Mm-hmm. I think the rogue gets, you know, if they're doing damage from behind, sniper, you know, from far away. So, you know, it's trying to incentivize that. So which was cool, especially with the tank, I felt fucking invincible. I would say the best part about this game, well, two things. The setting is pretty great, like I said. And the other thing was the difficulty was, like, spot on. We barely made it through all, like, everything that we did, you know. Well, the very beginning was easy, but then as we kept going, it got harder and harder, but not too hard where we were like, oh, fuck this game, you know what I mean? It was just, like, just right. And for a demo to get that, I was really impressed by that.
Oh, that's cool.
As far as like $60, I don't see that happening. I mean, maybe.
Is that going to be the price, do you know?
Yeah, we looked it up. At least John did. Yeah, this is like a AAA $60 game.
Well, it's by People Can Fly. Now, that's a great studio. I don't, you know, people always change within a studio, so who knows if they're the same, but that's the studio that made the old Painkiller games, and then they got absorbed or taken in by some other studio, and that's when they made Bulletstorm, I think.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see. I'm not going to completely shut the door on it, but you know, $60 is a hefty price.
Yeah.
$80 to pre-purchase for, oh, that's Canadian.
Yeah. $80 fucking Canadian, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah. 80 loons.
You know, just to go on a totally, totally different direction, a tangent here. I don't know if you can go back to YouTube, Sniper, but when we were watching that video, I wanted to comment on a thumbnail I saw of Linus Tech Tips. So I saw one pop up in my feed maybe about a week ago. And well, Linus has a new look these days. I don't watch him that often, but I'm sure other people like know about this.
He's got a beard, right?
He's got a beard. He's wearing a beanie. And I clicked on this video and like right off the bat, he's like, NVIDIA doesn't care about gamers. And it's like this, it's just like a new look for this guy. Like, I don't know. I mean, I like it. And I know he had like some announcement maybe like a year ago where he was just kind of dealing with some personal stuff about how, you know, he didn't really feel right just like pushing just this crass consumerism or whatever. But it was just kind of weird to see like him look so different in appearance and also just like a very different type of video that I'm used to getting from him.
Yeah, he looks more laid back now.
Yeah. Well, this one, he's like smiling and looking good, and, you know, looking happy. But the other one, he was dropping truth bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, from my understanding, like I used to watch him a lot, and like I believe there's a lot of stuff professionally and personally that was happening in his life, and he was seriously contemplating stopping like him being on the channel and just letting everybody else run the channel, and like he even made a video on Reddit, like, you know, saying, you know, I'm gonna possibly quit, and, you know, if in the next 6 weeks things don't go well, I'm gonna quit and all this stuff, and then people like apparently just came out in troves. And just said, you know, hey, you know, you changed my life in a lot of different ways. You know, I look forward to your videos and stuff like that. And he ended up staying. And then another thing is that he has a lot more creative input now, because I know that a lot of stuff was being just written for him to read and stuff. But now it seems like they're building up, like, not to be gimmicky, but like they're building a pyramid computer with 3 3090s in it. And it's just like they're having more fun than they were before, I guess.
That's good.
Cool. All right. That's all I want to say about that. Nick, what have you been playing?
I'm just going to start, preface this with a shout out to my man, Cricket Soldier. I've been playing a fuck ton of Ark. Reason being is that we went from Rust to Ark in my friend group. And as someone who's put over 500 hours in Ark, we just, decided to play a new map that we haven't played. We have 8 new players, and like 5 experienced players and like 1 god. And one god is Cricket Soldier. This guy is insane. Okay, just an example, there's these things called wyverns, and wyverns are considered like one of the most late game creatures you can tame. And having one of them is like a feat in itself. This man has like 16, and he's breeding them like hotcakes and selling the eggs. Like, to like other players. He's like running an underground like smuggling den of wyvern eggs. And I'm going to be honest, I bought one from him. So
I hope it eats you, dude.
it's hard because like even just raising them is hard. Like you have to get milk for them, and getting milk is like another feat amongst itself. Is like you have to knock out a female wyvern and then milk it while it's sleeping, which all while that's happening, you're either freezing or melting to death, and other wyverns are trying to kill you. And so
you have to milk things in this game, dude. What the fuck is this game? That's so weird.
So, if this is
wyvern, how are you going to get milk for it?
You have, like I said, you have to knock out the mom and then you got to squeeze its boobs.
I'm telling Sniper, be realistic, man. Where else are you going to get wyvern milk than a sleeping wyvern?
This is like Star Wars Episode 8. Like, whenever you milk a creature, I don't know why. I don't. Maybe it's just a me thing. I don't like seeing the milk come out of the titty. So like blue and weird.
You don't see it come out of the titty. It just goes in your inventory. You don't see the titty either. But one thing I will say about this game, game has been, I think, been out for, I think, 7 years or six years. I can't remember.
Well, the sequel is coming out. They announced.
Yeah, the sequel's coming out, and a movie and an anime. So, yeah,
with Vin Diesel.
With Vin Diesel and Chris Pratt in the movie.
Wow.
And so I think this is probably arguably one of the best times you could get involved in this game, especially if you wanted to play with friends and stuff. This game is one of those games where it just has a super extreme learning curve. And as someone who's taught like 8 different people how to play it in the past week, I can just say that, and this is not to toot my own horn, but I literally, whenever I play with these guys, I'm not stopped talking. Like, these guys are like, how do you do this? How do you do this? What does this do? What is this? I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, it's fun to teach them and everything. But if anyone in the DLG community wants to take part in my server, well, it's not mine, but in my friend group server, you're more than welcome to join. Cricket will help you.
Yeah, Cricket has like 3,000 hours. Well, that was last time that I checked in with him. I think it's up to 4,000 now.
He said 5,000 yesterday.
Yeah.
And so, and dude, like, I was, as someone who used to be really sweaty in this game, I know what can be accomplished in like a certain amount of time. But this guy is a machine. Like, I know he stays home and he has a lot of other personal things that he talks about, but, and he has a lot of free time on his hand, but Jesus Christ, this guy's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to tame the hardest dinosaur to tame in the first 2 days. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And he's just like, and I tamed it. I'm like, what? and like, we're on the fucking beach beating like crabs and like small dinosaurs with rocks. And this guy's flying through the skies on a goddamn dragon.
That's awesome.
Like,
and you guys started at the same time.
Huh?
And you guys started at the same time.
We all started at the same time. All my friends were like, oh, can I train a dodo? Meanwhile, he's like riding a T-Rex, like butt naked, drinking a beer. Like, it's insane.
Bobby, you were aware that this game does have dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. I played this game. This was when we were doing the homework section. I got this game. Oh,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Was, do you like dinosaurs? Am I missing something? Does Bobby like dinosaurs?
He does like dinosaurs. Yeah, especially when you can make them go home.
Yeah.
Well, now, like, a lot of things that have been expanded since it came out, probably since, like, the last time you played it, you can breed dinosaurs, You can breed plants. Like, you can grow all different kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I played it a year and a half ago. Couldn't have been much longer than that.
You've been around since, like, breeding dinosaurs has been, like, a really focused thing. The new thing, I shouldn't say new, but, like, the more prominent thing that a lot of people do now is that there's bosses in the game. And so they're, like, dungeons, and there's, like, puzzle dungeons, and there's, like, fighting dungeons, and there's, like, survival dungeons and all these kind of things. And when you complete the dungeon, you get, like, a mat to be able to summon a boss. And the bosses are how you unlock, like, the alien technology. Mm. And so there's actually, like, an incentive to play. Like, it's no more, like, kid in a sandbox kind of thing. It's more of a...
There's goals.
Hey... Yeah, it's like, hey, we're working to our common goal. And you can't just be like, oh, I'm going to tame 50 dragons or wyverns and, like, beat the game that way. Like, the caves, you can't fit a wyvern in there. Like, the biggest thing you can fit is maybe a raptor. So the devs have definitely kept up with the game and are coming out with more. And I'm more than excited to see what's to come.
So when you summon a boss, you summon it inside or outside of the dungeon?
So... just a brief overview. You find cave, right? You go in cave, you kill mini boss, you get mini boss's horn, for example, right? Once you have mini boss's horn, maybe a couple other mats, you go to this obelisk, and there's three obelisks on the map, and you can summon a boss at the obelisk. You either fight the boss where the obelisk is, or you get teleported to the boss's domain, and then you fight him there. And so, I to be honest... In all my time of playing this game, I've only ever killed one boss. And it was the giant monkey boss.
If you fight the kind that stays around the obelisk, can't you have like 100 people jump it?
Yes, exactly. And that's what a lot of people do. But like normally on a public server, if someone summons a boss, there's going to be people trying to like snake the kill.
Right.
And so they can get the stuff from the boss. And so... What I will say is this game has a lot of DLC, and buying that DLC is definitely a plus. Like, it unlocks more dinosaurs and things like that, but it also has a lot of free LC, and one of the mods is called S+, and if anyone plays on a modded server, it's going to have S+ on it. And what that does is all the DLC becomes available on the free LC. And so we are able to craft things that are normally available on the DLC levels and stuff with the S+ items, and it's free. And so because of the fact that we were, teaching 8 new people how to play the game, we don't want to say, hey, can you buy this $40 game and then buy another $30 of DLC?
Right.
Instead, one of the free new maps and decided to use S+, and everybody's loving it. And so we think next month, we're going to wipe the server and then play on the newest map, which is Genesis, which is even crazier than when we play now because it has quests and it has missions and things like that. So it's the game is always improving.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I would like to make an announcement, a real quick one.
Yeah.
We're introducing on the server a Wyrim milk emoji. Thank you.
Sounds good. If you drink the wyvern milk as a human being, by the way, like, you can run and jump higher and faster, and you can like run for longer and stuff like that. Like, it's essentially steroids. So, but yeah, no, the game's great, Bobby. If you want to try it out, you're more than definitely welcome to try it out again. If you already have it, like I said, you can play the free LC. I know you're not that much into survival crafting games anymore, but...
Yeah, not really my thing, but, things change.
Bobby, I played Blue Rock as well this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bought that... the skin pack, the one with the... You're basically wearing dead aliens all over your body.
Oh, the newest one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked fucking awesome.
Those are dangerous, man. You look like a bug and people shoot you.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
I'm learning this.
Yeah.
But it's worth it for the cool factor. Man, I had a lot of fun, dude.
Yeah. So you can get those skins, and there are also skins for the gun that you have to find out in the wild. Mm-hmm. So you can really look like a bug with all that. But yeah, it's a great game. They just had their 3-year anniversary from when they released in early access. So they gave away a hat. They, they had those, or they've got a new skin set or a new armor set that you can get through quests. And, you know, some little stuff here and there. They had a big event that they streamed. But the real cool thing is they announced their next two updates. They didn't say much about the second one, but the first one is coming in April. It's called Bits and Pieces, I think. They're adding modding support, which is a big deal. Now, people have modded this game before. I've jumped into games that have been modded. I don't know how they did it, but they are... I only was in there for a very short time because I was worried like something would happen and like it would... might mess with like all the progress I've made on my characters. I didn't want to risk anything. So I got out pretty quick, but the modded games were really fun because you could just say like, keep sending detonators or bulk detonators, or, you know, I want a Korlock Tyrant read, or like just crazy stuff. So you can just add all these extra challenges to it. So that's going to be huge. The modding support there. And they're also going to be adding a save game system or a save profile system. So you could have like one profile with all your regular stuff and then one profile where you play like modded games or whatever and mess around. I don't know.
That'd be good.
Yeah. But they're also going to be redoing the entire weapon system with balancing, not just balancing, because they haven't touched it in a while, but they're going to be adding new weapons. They haven't done that since like the game, since early, one of the first few patches. I think is when they added the second type of gun. Like each class had two different guns, another primary and another secondary.
The first year for sure.
Yeah. But then after that, nothing.
Yeah.
So adding new guns is like a really big deal. New overclocks, and then just retweaking everything. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And then they're adding a new mission type, which would be cool as well. Like that's just... that'll just add to the variety of it. So big things happening for this game in the future. And yeah, I played a little bit just today, actually, and started working on some quests. And it's still just an awesome game. It's a free-to-play weekend right now. This will be over by the time the episode comes out. But if this game is on sale, I highly recommend picking it up. I played with someone who had just picked it up not too long ago, only played a few missions on his own. And we played like a Hazard 3, like don't want to do anything too difficult. We're like, kind of easy. So we bumped it up to Hazard 4 and still I was like, kind of easy. So I don't know, man. I feel like the game's getting easier or maybe I'm just getting
better. It's easier, man, because we were doing, I remember not being able to do Hazard 4s when I was actually well practiced. Mm-hmm. I went in with like no practice and we had a new player, Maven Star, and we were getting 4s done. So I feel like it's easier. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I really feel like they need a Hazard 6. I play Hazard 5s all the time now. That's what I queue up for, unless I have a reason to. Otherwise, like I'm playing with somebody who isn't at that level, and it's no problem, really. Yeah. Like sometimes some crazy stuff happens. You get a bulk detonator or a tyrant weed in the wrong spot or something, you know, goes sideways. But for the most part, it's just, I don't know. It does seem easier.
Yeah. One of the times we did a 4, and we never even made it outside of our capsule. We shot aliens until we ran out of bullets, like in that first cavern, just nonstop, dude. Just waves and waves and waves and waves, and we never finished. So we ran out of ammo. We died.
Did you try any of the new missions? The escort?
Not the escort. Just
the pipes.
The pipes, man.
Oh, okay.
I was commenting, what no game has done that before. That's like their own thing. You have to find these wells, and I mean we've talked about it before, but then you gotta map out the pipe that you're gonna go to the well to pump the extract the stuff, but then the mapping it is not getting it done. Then you have to wrench it, and this is, you're getting attacked the entire time. You got to put the whole thing together. If you fuck up, you have to break it apart and start building it. Once you have all three going, you turn on the machine, and of course all the aliens come and they're breaking it, and it's just chaos. And on top of all of that, you can ride around on these. You can kind of like glide on them, which is so fun, especially when you're trying to get down to something that's broken. And you can get it's fucking awesome, man. What a great idea.
Yeah, good mission type.
So I got a quick question about this, about Deep Rock, because I played it for a little while with my friends, And I was wondering, is there a way to like find skins while you're doing the missions? Because we killed like this robot that was walking around, and like we got a drop, and we didn't know this because if we got like because we killed the robot, or it, like maybe because one of us leveled up. But we were just wondering, is there a way to get skins in game?
Yeah, there's two ways to do that. So there's a loot crate or a loot, an equipment crate, I think they call it. And that you'll hear batteries beeping. You pick up the batteries, you put them in the loot crate, you build it, and then a whole bunch of resources like rare gems will pop out. And then you usually get a victory move or like a skin, some sort of cosmetic item. But there's also another way too. You find a lost helmet. You find that, you scan it, and then it points to a place on the map that you have to get to. It's usually pretty hard to get to.
And that's what we did. Yeah. Okay. It was like we found like a relic, or what we thought was like a relic. It turns out to be a lost helmet, apparently. Mm-hmm. And we did that. And so, yeah, like I said, we played it we played it maybe like 4 or 5 months ago. Yeah. We plan on picking it up again, but we were just wondering, hey, you know, are the DLC just, you know, not the DLC, but are the cosmetics just money grabs, or is there like anything to them?
Well, the cosmetic items that you buy, you can only get by buying them. Of course, those are some of the cool stuff, but the stuff that you find in game, no, anybody can find those. Plus you can buy, a lot of other cosmetics, at the base. I think with the helmet, the only thing you get is the cosmetics for your pickaxe though.
And the modding, dude, I think we're gonna see new, I mean, depending on how much.
Well, here's my thing, like, are they gonna make it so those mods count towards your level? Because then you could just like mod a level that just lets you get so much XP and gold.
I think, well, what Binding of Isaac does is like you can't make any progress on your main account. That's probably why they're giving you a second save file so that you can play modded games,
yeah,
without breaking the system.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't really count towards your shit. It's just for fun. But yeah, I think you're going to start seeing new biomes, new bad guys, all kinds of shit. And then hopefully if it's like Binding of Isaac, they'll take the best shit and put it into the regular game.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see xenomorphs instead of these cave bugs.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know, like, to what extent you can mod things. Like, if you can totally reskin a character, I don't know if you can do that. And it's going to be an incremental thing. So they're starting the modding in April with update 34. And it's really going to be basic. It's only going to work on Steam. And there's going to be things inside the game that allow you to do it. But it's really something that's going to be developed over time. Mm. But it's awesome that they're finally putting this in. I mean, they continue to just do great things with this game. And it peaked like this weekend. I think I looked at, I found out all this stuff was happening, and I looked up on Steam how many people were playing. 21,000 people playing the game concurrently.
Good. That's a lot. And that's not counting the people, I'm guessing, from the Epic Store the Xbox Store that got it for free, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because those people play on, they play with the Xbox community.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. And what's strange about this game is you don't see this happen. Usually you see a game come out, they get a huge spike of players, and that slowly dwindles down over time. Right. That's kind of the pattern we see with every single game. This game, they came out 3 years ago, they had a good amount of players, and it's continued to grow just steadily. We've got the graph up here on steamcharts.com. Like, it's just been kind of like a slow, steady rise there with a few little ups and downs in between. But
that's what we call the DLG ramp, dude.
The ramp.
Yeah, very rare that it happens, but that's just you waxing poetic for the last 3 years, Bobby.
I didn't jump on this game till late, man. Like, you guys played it first, and then I played it once, and I was like, yeah, it's all right. And I think I was kind of in the middle of, like, HOTS and WoW and, you know, the Blizzard addiction.
Yeah.
Are you on speaking terms with the CEO, Bobby, after you interviewed him? Do you send him messages every now and then?
Yeah, I'm not gonna bug people like that.
Oh, really?
Why not?
I do all the time, dude. You. I'm like, how's it going?
Oh, man.
No one? All right. Nick, we played some Fall Guys Season 3 today.
Yeah, speaking of visiting old games, Fall Guys.
Yeah. When you get these lulls, like Bobby was talking about, it's a great time to, like, you know, clear out the backlog. Or if not,
you're talking about this game like it came out so long ago. This is less than a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's not popular. I mean, it's not something that we play all the time anymore. I didn't even have it installed, I don't think. But yeah, we're looking at something to play, and this popped up. Season 3 is kind of has like a snow.
It's a winter theme.
Yeah, winter theme. Yeah. Snow and not Christmas, just snow. Last season was medieval. It was quite different, you know, like going medieval even as a theme is completely different than just snow. But whatever, it works. It's just a silly game. You guys all know what it is. It's like obstacle course in goofy costumes. And the costumes are so great that they make you want to spend money constantly. Right, Nick? Even if you just...
I've spent money on the costumes. I've bought the tokens that you can use for the prime currency and stuff. And I dress as like a little ninja, but dude, they're so good. And there's so many nuanced skins too. Like there's streamer skins, which is kind of a commonplace thing now, but like there's like a head grab skin and like a scout skin and like all these other things that like there's a my friend Pedro skin. So there's just a wide array of skins.
And that's somebody on the inside, like, working, dude. You got to make a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails for each one of those skins to happen. You don't just do it. You call them. You work on it together. That's a lot of work. So I'm glad that they do that because that's how they make their money. That and they put together a good game. I stopped playing it because cheaters became a really big problem. Nick, you said you saw some cheaters today.
I saw two, and they ended up getting eliminated the next round.
Oh, okay.
So. Which was weird because like there's a level where you're running against a tide essentially, or like a treadmill going the opposite direction, and then the level will shoot what's it called, like logs and fruit at you, and it's just a very simple level. I believe it only occurs when there's below 25 people, and they managed to run against the treadmill without any impedance, and so they just ran in front of everybody. You can super tell that they were cheating.
Yeah.
Like, they were a solid 10, 20 feet in front of everybody.
Well, hopefully...
And then they end up...
Hopefully the game kicked them off when it detected... Maybe that's how they got disqualified.
Well... Something that I remember we would talk about. Hey, there's cheaters, and a lot of people stop playing because of that. And there's people bringing it up on the subreddit and things like that. They essentially started having cheating banning montages on YouTube, and like they would ban people live. Like you would see it in the chat. Like Gooey Gamer was banned, for cheating, and it would show you in the lobby, and so. I think they've fixed it for the most part. Maybe not catching everybody. You know how there's people that, new cheats and, new shit like that. And I would think with the popularity of like the skins and everything that there might be money behind these accounts. There might be people want the skins that, because there's skins that you can only get by spending crowns. And the only way you can get crowns is by either experience or by
winning.
Or by winning games. And so if you're going to cheat to win games to get crowns to buy super hard skins, you're going to...
That's why...
There's money behind it. So
there's the motivation for it, I guess. Even though...
Yeah.
A bunch of assholes. But it definitely wasn't as bad as when I quit, for sure.
No. Yeah, I remember the last time I played, and I quit for the same reason. There were cheaters. People were just floating across the map.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was
so
bad.
So good on them. For getting it under control. What else you got, Nick?
So I have a very weird thing to announce as far as like things that, obviously I got to mention 40K at one point or another. Warhammer 40,000 is coming to Magic the Gathering.
Like the fantasy version?
No, 40,000, the Space Marines.
What the fuck?
Like the, so... I had the same reaction, right? Like I was like, "Wait, this can't be possible. That's too much of a jump." Like they've had guns and stuff, but they've been like matchlocks and like pirate guns. They're not going to go to the 41st millennium and stuff like that. So there has to be a caveat. And so, for the last two card sets, they've been having these things called alternate cards, where my number one example is there's like a card where it's a 3/3 and then every turn it gains an ability, right? And it has a normal name. We'll just call it Artifact 1, right?
Sure.
But there's an alternate version of the card, which is Mecha Godzilla. And it's, you can look up Mecha Godzilla Magic the Gathering card, Sniper.
Oh,
and it's literally the same exact card as far as like stats and everything, and it's legal to play with. It's just an alternate print of that card.
Huh.
And so they're going to be doing that with a 40K theme.
So they're dipping into other, well, I mean, Magic the Gathering is all about like tapping into other different dimensions, right? So now
they're
starting to tap into our dimension, I guess.
I guess. Well, if the other fantasy or sci-fi dimensions, like I said, like you can see the Mechagodzilla like card on the screen right now. Like they and that was a card. Like I said, every turn, like every time you played the game, you instead of having Artifact 1, you would just have Mechagodzilla, and they're really sought after. They're collectible, and you actually have to buy a certain amount of cards essentially to increase your chances of even getting one, or you can sometimes even win one. So I'm very excited to see, you know, what comes of this, what characters are going to bring from 40K, you know.
So it's kind of like the cards are getting 40K skins.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Like if I had to put it in layman's terms, is the cards are getting skins.
Yeah. Which is cool.
And so, yeah, and definitely. And this is how you get me to buy pieces of paper.
Yeah.
You know,
you get to pay so much for these, dude, because the rares are going to be hard. The rares are expensive already. They usually, a good rare on day one will hop up to $20, $30, $40. And then if you get the alternate, yeah, dude.
So
don't buy this. You don't need them.
There's actually a term for these cards, and they're called lottery cards. So like, I actually own a couple of lottery cards, and just the like. So for example, there's a card called Steam Vents, and like Steam Vents is normally $12, but like the lottery version of Steam Vents is like $180.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever these lottery cards come out, there's always somebody that wants them, and if you get them sweaty 40K boys. Yo, they pay $80 for a 3x3 inch a piece of plastic. They'll easily pay money for fucking cards, you know?
What's the alternate art for Steam Vents? How do you make that cool?
So, Sniper, if you want to put in Steam Vents Expedition Land, so normally a card, right, if you remember Bobby and Emilio, the card just has the art on the top.
Right.
And then on the bottom it has text and it says what it does, right? Well, there was these things called Expedition Lands. And so if you look in the middle, you see Steam Vents, like the original card. It has the art on the top, and then it has the words on the bottom. Well, this, the whole, in person, on the monitor, you can't really see it because it's not foil. But in real life, you can see the whole art. That's how it looks right there. And it's chromatic holographic, so it has all the colors of the rainbow on it. And it's like guaranteed no fade hologram, so like the hologram the holographic foil will never come off.
Yeah.
Now, and can like you milk any of these cards?
Can you what?
Can you milk any of the alternate cards?
Yes, you can. In fact, you can definitely milk these to the point where you start, you know, taking people's money. The crazy thing about these cards is that, let's say you go to a draft, and a draft is where you buy a pack of cards, you buy three packs of cards, you open them, and you make a deck using those cards, and you play everybody, and then it's a little tournament, and you win money. It's usually like every Friday, right? But let's say I open a lottery card. This 9 times out of 10, the store will be like, hey, we'll either buy the card from you right away, or can we switch out the pack? You can keep the lottery card because we know you don't want to damage the card that you just pulled.
Yeah.
Because it can be worth a lot of money. That Steam Vents, those Expedition Lands, those are like professional value, like they said, in like the next 15, 20 years, is to be like $2,000, $3,000 because they'll never make them again.
Mm.
Oh, and the rarity, just for example, like a statistic thing. So one box has 36 packs of cards, right? A crate has 6 boxes in it. most of the time, you only get one of these lottery cards in one in every 50 boxes.
Yeah.
And so it's they're very hard to get. And I think this is going to bring a lot of people to play Magic, whether it be, you know, these new alternate cards. And you're like, how does this relate to PC gaming? Well, Magic the Gathering Arena also has these cards, and which is the PC version of Magic the Gathering. And getting them is a lot different. You don't get them on chance. You actually have to buy the skins themselves or earn them.
Right, because you can't sell things to other people, right?
Yeah, you can't sell individual cards. Now, there are people that sell accounts.
Yeah.
Like, the game's very weird on PC because you get these things called wild cards where, like, let's say you buy a pack of cards and you get a mythic wild card. And what that means is you can craft any mythic card with that wild card. And so people will sell accounts that say, hey, 100 mythic wild cards and 200 rare wild cards on it. And so you can make any deck you want. Mm. The Magic the Gathering Arena, I think, is something that will... I don't think paper Magic will ever stop, but Arena will definitely give it its run for its money.
Yeah, in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially how many...
When they come out with it on the phone, it'll be game over, hands down.
It's in beta right now. I saw it the other day.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And like I said, I've spent a lot of money on Arena. I spent a lot of money on paper. And luckily, my investment on paper has come out to be even, if not a little bit more. But this is something that I had to mention because it's just such big news, you know?
It's cool, man. I mean, after this many years, what is it? They're 25 years of Magic, maybe even more. What can you do?
28, yeah.
How do you keep it fresh? Fucking reskinning cards? I think that's a great idea.
Not only reskinning old cards, but reskinning new cards too, which is nice. Like, there's a card called Murderous Rider, and then there's like an alternate version of it, and it's a Space Marine with a giant gun. Like, why not?
Yeah, why not?
And there's a lot of people that do not like this. That do not, like, a lot of traditionalists are like, this is stupid. You're ruining the game. Like, I didn't, you know, I'm not playing Magic the Gathering to play Space Marines or to play as, like, Godzilla. I came to, you know, play as, you know, Planeswalkers and stuff like that. And those people are, you know, going to be lost with the wind in time.
Yeah.
I did not sign up for a giant lizard. All right. I played the weird ghost, the weird liquid ghost, and that's it. All right. That's where I draw the line.
I play oozes and bears. Okay. Oozes and bears, not giant lizards.
Nick, I bought, I actually stole a box of packs one time in my Magic the Gathering days. I was at fucking GameStop, and they had a box on the floor. The guy was stocking boxes, and he rung me up for whatever I was buying, and there was a box like 6 feet from the door, and I was like, boop, I kicked it out into the hallway, and I picked it up on the way out. Yeah, I felt really bad about it later on.
You're a scumbag.
But you know how many fucking drafts I played, dude? That was like, I don't know what the value of that is. Over $100 for sure.
What's crazy is, like, there's a very prominent YouTuber, and his name is Alpha Investments, and his real name is Rudy. And his whole lifestyle has been investing in Magic the Gathering since Alpha, right? And this dude is just insanely accurate in his predictions on, like, how a box of cards will be valued later. Because usually, like, a box of cards, when it comes out, like, if you buy it from a retailer, it's like $119 to $130. And it'll be like, oh, in a month, it'll be $160. And people will buy, like, 100 boxes and then sell them for, like, a $30 profit.
Damn.
And this guy, and he's usually right, like, 95% of the time. And he's predicted all the lottery cards and stuff like that. And he's actually been... how do I say this? Like, he's been denounced by Wizards of the West Coast. Like, he used to be an official Wizards of the West Coast channel. And then they were like, we can't sponsor your shit anymore.
Yeah.
And, it's just so crazy. Like, the world of Magic has gone from popular to even, like, pop sensation now.
Cool. Damn. Yeah. That was like 40 minutes on Magic, dude. Good job. I'm going to do another. I'm going to try a little more succinct with my Borderlands 3 talk this time. I'm trying to get my characters back up after I lost my character, so I couldn't decide if I wanted to play Moe's the soldier or Zane the spy gadget guy, and so I just gave them both I took them both up to level 10 to see which one I really like more. Their personalities, I don't like Flack, my main character. He would make me crack up all the time because he's like he's a robot that just became sentient. So there's a lot of wiggle room there for jokes. These ones are just kind of like generic or whatever. But I ended up going with Moe's. So she, like I said, she's kind of like D.Va. She pulls down this robot. But if she's in a confined space and she can't, there's like a smaller version that she rides on the back of, and you can control and like use a gun on the back of it, which is really cool. Yeah, man, I do really like Borderlands 3. I mean, I just played it I played it the first time, and now I'm playing it two more times just to see which character I want to go forward to. It's just, I like the gameplay loop. I love the art. I love everything about it. I'm a sucker for Borderlands. I'm not saying it's a fucking 10 out of 10 game, because it definitely isn't. It just happens to tickle my pickle.
Gross. All right.
Gross.
It's time for listener questions. Before we do that, quick shout out to Falcon K21 subscribing for the first time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, dude. Falcon Punch.
Also, Tag Loro gifted a sub to Major Muchacho. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Time for listener questions. First one is from Warconius. Bobby, since you have no plans for your Steam library, can I have it when you die? I'll pay for the notary to amend your will and testament. Yeah, dude, here's the thing. When I die, it's going to be a long time probably till that happens. Let's hope. But
once the cybernetics begin to fail.
Let's say I die in 50 years. So
50?
Yeah, 50. So I'll be 87.
I think Bobby's got 50. I think he's got at least 50, dude.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't. Wow, you never know. Dude.
Well, all right.
Yeah, but I don't really live dangerous. All that
soiling preserving the insides of his body, he's definitely from 50.
Yeah, like I take pretty good care of myself, but you never know, dude. That stuff doesn't matter. Then you get old and like it's like, hey, surprise, cancer. You know, it's just like you never know. But let's say 50 years. So imagine somebody giving you like all their games from 50 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know, like for is sure. That gonna be I don't know.
Thanks for Pong, old man. We now play real life war with robots. Yeah, that's a video game, so fuck off.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. Nobody's gonna be, and even it's all gonna be like kind of like right now where you could just emulate everything that's ever been on NES. Mm-hmm. There's gonna be some website or whatever that you just type in any game you could think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's already websites where you can download legally for free games that just nobody cares about, like Star Wars Rebellion.
Yeah.
You can get that for free online legally. You can just download it and play it because it's like a 20-year-old game, but just nobody really cares about it. So, you know, go for it. But plus, like, when you die, like, people, you know, I always think about what you talked about, like, because you spent some time doing junk removal and you'd often clear out people, the places of people who had died, their relatives hire you to clear out their place. Yeah. They just throw that shit away, dude. Coin collection, stamp collection, whatever they valued, you know, all this stuff that they saved and hoarded. It's just like, just toss it, dude. Like, nobody cares.
I told Minnie Del Macho came and worked with me for a couple bucks, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, are we just going to throw all this dead lady stuff away? And I was like, dude, it's important until it isn't. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
yep.
Shit. It really is. Like, the only reason your shit's important to you is because it's important to you. It literally doesn't matter to anybody else. That's why I don't get caught up too much on, like, sentimental stuff. I don't think.
I'm not going to go on a full rant about this, but I have a dead person's story about magic and someone being a really good person and ending up, you know, this lady's husband passed away. He was an alpha and beta collector. Like, he bought, you know, dozens of boxes of both. And one of my friends found the box. Like, he was at this lady's garage sale. And he's like, how much do you want for the box of cards? And she said $50. And he opened it. He's like, I can't buy this for you for $50. And it ended up being about $21,000 worth of cards. Oof. And so he ended up selling them for the lady, and she ended up giving him a quarter of the money, and that's how she paid for her husband's funeral. And she was like 80, 90 years old.
Here's another time that I sold Magic Gathering cards. This guy at work is like, "Hey, dude, you play Magic?" And I was like, "Yeah," because I don't know how I came up. And he's like, "I used to play. I want to sell my old cards. You want to buy them?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he's like, "But I don't know what they're worth." I was like, "Oh, I'll bring my buddy who knows," and he does. He was like a professional card dealer of Magic cards. And he went over there, but he's my buddy. He gave me like, he's like, "Oh, that's worth like $50 when it was actually worth like $200. But I didn't know either. He's like, "Dude, I just got you like $1,500 off those cards." He's like, "We could make $1,000 right now if you want." I was like, "I spent like $300. It was probably worth, yeah, probably $2,000 or something like that."
Wow.
I had a Black Lotus. Ever show it to you, Nick?
No, you never showed it to me, which you should probably keep that just in case you ever need to pay for your own funeral, because that's like upwards of $17,000.
No, mine was white bordered.
It's still like $3,000.
Yeah, at the time I sold it. I sold it for I think $900 at the time.
Warconia has another question. It says there are lots of games coming out featuring cats more than usual. Do you think this has something to do with lockdown? Like gamers being lonely and really wanting a pet. I don't know. I've always wondered why there aren't more cat games, because that's such easy clickbait on the internet, dude. Right. Like any cute cat video, you know, just millions of views.
We have Goat Simulator. We don't have Cat Simulator. Or do we?
Because no, you're going to be sleeping for 80% of the game.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of cat games out there, but they're all like super low budget stuff.
Oh, there it is.
Cat yeah. Simulator. They're all like, what was that? Steam used to have where Green Pass, Green Light. Yeah, they're all like Green Light cash grabs where they'd put them up on there and then like give away 100 free keys if you upvote this, so they could release on Steam, and then you'd get cards on yours so people would get it, and you'd sell it to a bundle site so they just sell it. Like it was a racket, man. It was a racket.
I'm just thinking of that meme where the boss is talking to the three people in the office, and the other guy, the guy in the back, is like, always has that idea. He's like, "We're going to need a new concept for a game." And he's like, "What about cats?" And they throw him out of the window. You just can't honestly bring up a cat game in any kind of business setting. I don't think it's going to do well. If you're one dude, you can get it done, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
I've never looked this up. There's so many fucking cat games, dude.
Any good ones, though? Like, find me an Overwhelm. Oh, there's one right there.
Overwhelm. Cat Tales. It looks so
cat
good.
Cat Tales. Become the cat.
It's an RPG where you're a cat.
The tagline says, like Stardew Valley, but you're a cat.
Wow.
Cat goes fishing. What?
Yeah. But see, it's a lot of stuff like this. It's kind of like visually like, oh, haha, that looks cute. But like, who's going to like actually play this game?
Oh, apparently they're all overwhelmingly positive. What the fuck?
Oh, the cat lady. I've heard of that one. That's a horror one.
Find me some sales numbers for these games, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. See, like a lot of these games that I'm seeing, I've seen in like bundles.
Yeah, of course.
That get sold for like $3 for 12 games.
Curse that magic cat. All right, let's move on. I'm going inside. All right.
Next one from Sheer Ponage. He asks, many of us have full-time jobs, kids, and other commitments that leave us little time for our PC gaming hobby. How do you find balance between real life and gaming?
The answer is I don't, man. For a long time, we actually altered the podcast because I had to start talking about other stuff. Now, but life has changed again, so I hate to even bring it up. It's a whisper. It's a fart on the wind. Right now I'm getting like 2 hours of free time because the whole house goes to sleep at like 9, and I don't really realistically have to be asleep until like 11. So I get like 2 hours of fucking solid free time. I played a lot of Borderlands this week, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. It all went into Borderlands, but I'm going to be bringing back a few of my, old ideas. They're like the thing on Steam that tells you, it cross-references the popularity and score versus how little time you've put into it. And it kind of offers you up, hey, you haven't played this cool game in your library. It's like a backlog.
It's a website?
No. It's inside of Steam.
Like it's one of their experimental things. Uh-huh.
It's okay. Built in now. I don't think it's even experimental. But anyway, I'm going to go through one each week. This week, I think it's going to be Deep Sky Derelicts. And next week, it'll be Journey.
Deep Sky Derelicts. I beat that game.
Oh, I know you beat it.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's pretty good. I had a good time. It's not as good as a lot of other games like it. Now, Deep Sky Derelicts, we're thinking of the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's the one that's like Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, looks like Darkest Dungeon. Yep. Yeah, it was a good game, but it's not as good as Darkest Dungeon or some of the other games similar to it. I enjoyed that one, though.
Nick, you just sacrificed all your sleep, right?
So, yeah, I hate to share too much about my personal life, but just having a baby and only being married for 3.5 years, that question is very rough for me to answer. The main reason why I play video games isn't really for myself anymore. I mean, that's like an asshole way of saying that, but it's just a way for me to communicate with my friends back home in California. And I definitely see that strain on my relationship with my wife. I'm trying to tone back to how much how much I play now, even less. Because when we first moved in together or like first started dating or got married, I would play like 7-8 hours a day. And she'd be like, dude, are you just going to play video games all day? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem? But now having a child, it's way different. And that's not the main reason. Like I said, wife goes first. Have your wife, have your life. Fuck. I'm going to be a live, laugh, love dad right there by saying that shit. But you hit the nail on the head. For me to actually play games for like a worthwhile duration, because there's not many games anymore these days where you can just play for an hour, right? Like if I play Ark for an hour, I can't do anything important. I might be able to collect some wood or some stone and that's it. Like I'm not going to train a dinosaur. I'm not going to do anything like that. And so to be able to do things like that, I have to lose sleep.
That's a lot of the reason why I started playing like smaller indie games. Cause you can jump in for an hour and just have fun.
And so it's just, losing sleep is like a key part. For a while, for like a solid year, aka the Rona year, I was playing a lot more because I was forced to stay home. But before that, me and Leslie had such different schedules where like she would be at work for 6 hours of the day while I was at home for 6 hours. And like, what am I going to do by myself? And I'm going to play video games, Yeah. I'm going to clean the house, do whatever chores I need to do and play video games. But the caveat is my wife's not home and I can't spend time with my wife. And so does having a child and like a full size family now definitely change that dynamic? Yeah. Is it for the better? Of course. I'll try to play video games for as long as I can, as far as like playing with like, just to be in touch with my friends. Cause we talk on Discord, like typing and shit, but that doesn't make anywhere close to the friendship that you get from like making fun of each other and calling each other idiots and stuff like that. And like, it's just, I don't know. Like that's the main reason why I play. So.
Yeah. And playing, not just that, but like hanging out with your friends and like doing something difficult together, like defeating a boss or building some really cool shit. That's like memory building, man.
Oh yeah. No, like there's things to this day where we were like, hey man, you remember when we played Ark like 5 years ago and this happened? And then we start laughing for like a solid hour straight.
Yeah.
And like there's people that I never met in real life and I ended up going to their weddings and things like that. So and of course there's people that I went to school with and things like that. But the majority of the time that I play video games is usually to play with my friends, or the time that I'm playing when they're not on is to enhance the time that I do when I play with them. So yeah.
Aww.
And that's how I connect with you, and you're my uncle. And when the once a month or once every 2 months that I play with Bobby, so that's how I connect with Bobby. So and the shittiest thing about the whole situation is not anything that has to do with family or anything. It's the time difference. I'm 3 hours ahead. If I was the same time as you guys, I would have I would say about 60% more time to actually play with you guys.
Yeah.
So,
But that's going to change soon, right? Maybe.
A year and a half, I'll be out of the Navy. So I'll be moving to Texas, so I'll only be about an hour and a half, 2 hours ahead, which is way better than 3 hours. So,
looking forward to it, man.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's further away than I thought, a year and a half.
Yeah, Bobby, what about you, Mr. I'm going to school for like 18 different degrees. How do you fucking, you know, manage to play video games and stuff?
Schedule, dude. Just a schedule. It's pretty simple, man. Use Google Calendar. It's pretty fucking easy, dude. It's just a matter of not being lazy. Like, when I started using a calendar, I never wanted to use a calendar before, and then I kind of started forcing myself to, maybe, probably not that long ago, like a year or two, and it makes everything so much easier. You don't have to remember anything. Like, someone asks you, like, hey, can you do this on this day? Or, hey, let's do that. Well, let me check the calendar. Yep. Nope, I'm open, penciling it in. Like, it makes everything so much easier. So, yeah, dude, that's why Fridays are my day. Like, right now, just with the way my life is right now, like, Friday is just the day that I can get all my gaming in. And sometimes I can get a little bit in here and there throughout the week. But, you know, I'm doing a lot right now. I mean, work, school, this, another podcast we're starting up. I'm doing like 10 hours of piano a week. I'm doing like 15 hours of French a week. Like, it's just, Jesus. It's piling up. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I've never done this much before in my life, but I think I can do it, just because if you schedule things, then it makes it so much easier. The problem is, if a curveball, you know, if something just comes up, and things do, dude, emergencies come up, and that really throws a wrench in everything. It makes it so much harder to be flexible and deal around that. But
yeah, like Sam calling me, come home right now. Luna split her face open. I'm like, oh God, jump in my truck. I drive home. She bumped her lip, dude. She was bleeding out of her lip. It was the fat lip is all it was. But split her face open. It was what I was, what that was reported. Oh Jesus.
Wow. Yeah. See, kids change a lot like that. Yep. Like, they change everything, but also it's just, God, I don't know. I had another point to make and I can't quite remember it now. Slipped my mind.
Bobby. So this is something that I talked to my real like life boss about. There are people that live to work and work to live. Would you say that you live to work?
I don't know. It changes
because I would say learning French is working, or like learning piano is working, right? Because anytime you're learning something, it's almost work.
Yeah, no, it is difficult, but it really depends on your motivation for doing it. And it makes a huge difference. Like, if you practice an hour a day and you keep looking at the clock, you're like, okay, 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 50 minutes, like, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And you're really not going to learn it that fast, and you're not going to enjoy it. And it's just going to be another chore that you have to do. But if you genuinely enjoy doing something, then you don't really pay attention to how much time you're putting into it. So like 10, 15 hours in piano and French, like, that's an estimation, you know, and plus with French, I'm counting all the French movies I watch. So that counts. I don't know. I don't really think about it in time though. Like, I genuinely enjoy doing it, but it can be exhausting. Like, just that and then everything else. Like, there are times where I'm just like, whew, like, I need to take a breath, but not really, dude. Like, I used to, if you start flexing your brain muscles, like, it's just like working out your actual physical muscles, man. Like, you can lift more, dude. I'm benching like 350 with my brain these days. Like, and it's no problem. It's no problem, dude. And like, I don't know, like, when it comes to work, like, I'm not learning French because like, I want to like work in France, or it's going to expand like career opportunities or anything like that. I've just always liked French. I don't know why. Ever since I took it in high school, I was really interested, and they make the best movies, dude. Their movies are fucking weird. I love it.
Can we get a little French, probably?
a little Francais? I don't know, man. Like, this goes out to everyone. I'm
what are we doing here?
I don't know.
Entertaining the masses.
You say, like, hey, can you say some French? Like, sure. Bonjour. Yeah, bonjour.
Can you say on Tuesday I'm going to the movies?
Let's see. On Tuesday, I'm going to the movies. What's Tuesday? Le mardi, je vais au cinéma.
See, that's the kind of stuff, like, when we would learn stuff in language school, mm-hmm. It would be like, that's the kind of quick shit you would have to come up with. Like, hey, tell me you're going on Thursday, you're going to go to the movies, and after that, you're going to go to your mom and dad's house and drink some coffee. Mm-hmm. And, like, you would be like, oh, blah, 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 I'm doing that. And then that's how they really tested you, because you can read off of a script, or you can listen to something and be like, I know what they're generally talking about, but when it comes to speaking, usually your mm-hmm. ability in your language, if you can speak well, you can usually read and listen well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking is a huge part of it, and it's really hard to get an opportunity to actually speak. I work with a tutor for about an hour a week right now, which is great. Like, I wish it was more, but I just don't have time, and it's, you know, it's kind of expensive too, but like just being able to speak with someone, and I've been doing it for a while, so I'm over like the nervous hump of it. So now yeah. I just kind of like ramble, and I know I don't make sense and I sound like an idiot, but like I just go for it, and it makes such a difference, especially with oral comprehension.
Bobby, remind me after the show. I have a family friend who's a retired French teacher, and she has like nothing to do right now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Does she tutor? But,
we'll see. She offered to tutor the kids, but maybe she'll tutor you.
No,
so cool. She did it professional for a lot of years.
So one thing, Bobby, I could recommend is good. Like, I know it's hard for you, and especially right now during, like, you know, run and everything. But as things get lifted throughout the United States and through California and everything, I would strongly go to places that speak French. And like, you're gonna be like, where do they speak French in, you know, LA, San Diego? Go to like Haitian restaurants. Or if you can't, like an actual legitimate like French restaurant, and that's like one of the best ways you can ever improve like the language you're trying to learn is like just learning simple shit like ordering from a menu, because if you branch out your ability to think on the spot, or even like ask somebody, like when I talk Spanish to my dad, I don't know the word for paperclip in Spanish. But like if I'm talking to him like blah 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 blah, and then all of a sudden I'm trying to describe what a paperclip is, and he tells me what a paperclip is, because I've thought about it so much and I've tried mm-hmm. to come up with the word and describe it, I'm going to remember paperclip.
Yeah, you know? It's like the pathway has been.
Yeah, yeah. No, the real world use is incredibly helpful, and yeah, when travel is more doable, then I would like to do that. What's kind of funny, though, yeah. is you always run into words, and I think this happens with any language, but you always run into words that are just like the same in English, but just pronounced a little differently. Right. And there's so much of that in French, and there's so much that's like with French, if you add M-E-N-T to anything, like it's kind of like just adding an L-Y to something.
Oh, okay.
So you look at something like Clermont here, right. Part of town, you know, Clermont, and then like clearly, you know, it's like you start seeing the little things like that. But what cracks me up is like... there's a lot of food like that where they don't really, it's like, did they steal our words or did we steal their words? Like
almost
like,
always we steal their words for sure.
Well, like some of the fancier ones. Yeah. But like hot dog, dude. No, I think they got that from us. All right.
Oh dude. The best thing I have for Spanish like that is like one of my cousins went to Spain and he's like, you want to know what they offered me when I went to the bar? They offered me an IPA. And I'm like, what the fuck is an IPA? Oh, and he's IPA. Like IPA. Mm-hmm. He's okay. Like, that's what they would call it. They're like, ¿qué es un IPA?
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, what? Like, una IPA. ¿Qué es una cerveza? ¿Qué es un IPA? And they would bring out like, and it would clearly say IPA on the bottle. And he's like, oh, and he would tell everybody it's IPA. There's no chance he's changing the fucking way they speak at all.
No, there's no.
And like sometimes they do steal our words.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, I think you mean Xian Shoud there with your hot dog.
Is that literally hot and dog?
Yeah, yeah. It's literally hot. But in Quebec, they have it. They're so they want to preserve their culture so much, and they're very sensitive around. There's laws. If you're a business, you can only have so many English words up on your store. You have to have the majority of stuff up in French. And so... in France, the hot dog is like something you would say, but in Quebec, it would be chien chaud. And same with, you know, sidewalk and a bunch of other anglicisme that there's like, they have a council of French dictionary people, and they come up with the French version of the word, and that becomes the official version. So it's kind of cartelly.
Have you talked to
that's
French?
Oh, right.
No, we would text and message back and forth in French.
Oh, you guys should totally play a game and just.
But he's got the Canadian French though.
Oh yeah,
that's, yeah. You got the frozen French.
Yeah,
it's second rate. Let's be honest.
You know what is super helpful though? Like if I talked a while ago about Duolingo, and that's great, but their podcast is like probably, because I've listened to a bunch of like Learn French podcasts. Yeah. Absolute best one is the Duolingo one. And I'm sure that's the same for all their languages.
Wait, the podcast for Duolingo?
Mm-hmm. Oh. They do a pod. Duolingo does a podcast in French, in Spanish, in, you know, probably all the big languages. And it's really good. They have a guy that will like start in English and then he'll add some stuff for context. And then they'll go to the French to the French part or whatever language you're listening to. And it'll be the person telling their story. And then like, it'll jump back to the, like a little bit of context in English and it goes back and forth. So you like, you never really get lost, like fully lost in it.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a bit of a tangent, but let's hop back on the listener questions here. Next question from Maven Star. If your penis was a luchador, what would its name be?
El Cucuy, and which is the boogeyman in Spanish. And it would definitely be a midget.
Yikes.
Zanahoria Blanco, aka the white carrot. I don't know.
The white carrot. All right. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'd...
Come on, Bobby.
The burrito noche. Like...
They'd be like, El Automaton.
The burrito noche.
I like that. Send you to sleep after you get it, son.
I always thought that would be a great name for like a Mexican superhero or something.
Chris, you got one?
No, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't, luchador, I don't even know.
Okay.
I think El Beluga, right? That's something. I don't know.
That's a whale.
Yikes. All right. Stormy asks, would you rather lose your thumbs or a leg? Tough call.
Leg.
I hardly
use them anyways. The thing is, if I lose one leg, do I lose? Can I like do an exchange? Can I like lose from the shins down if I lose both of them instead, or do I like lose a whole leg? Because if I can lose both shins down, I'm becoming Blade Runner, man.
Yeah, like some of those bouncy ones, man. They had to stop. People were turning in better running times with those bouncy legs than regular running.
Bionic people.
Definitely leg, because you can't jerk off without thumbs.
You figure it out.
This is what I was thinking, Bobby. What do you think?
That would work.
You get the panini press. You get like this. You're like,
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, prosthetics like for legs are incredible these days. Yeah. I've got a neighbor with one and I've seen her sometimes at the gym. At the gym in our high rise, and no problem, man. Like you wouldn't even know when she's walking around. Like if she were wearing pants, you would have no idea. When she's at the gym, you wouldn't even think that there were any disability whatsoever. Like she still just tears it up on the treadmill. No That's problem,
awesome, man. I would have opted for the machine gun, like in Cherry Kiss. I think her name is
Cherry Kiss. Oh, that Tarantino movie, that Grindhouse one. Okay. Yeah. Can't remember which one that was exactly. Warconius. Oh, Planet Terror. Yeah. There we go. Okay. Warconius has another question. Is Zack Snyder much worse than Michael Bay? I feel like Michael Bay knows he's making bombastic, flashy movies, but Zack Snyder thinks he's good. Wow.
Let's put a pin in this and answer it on Movies on the DL.
That's a Movies on the DL question. Yeah. You can be our first listener question.
That's what's up.
Well, that's Rose McGowan. That's who that was. Thank you. All right.
Okay. Because Sniper asked for a weird question, so here we go.
Yeah.
Making the question weird, would you eat your own vomit, one spoonful, before watching Justice League Extended? Oh, you know what? I'm totally going to check out that movie. I've been looking forward to it. I want to see how much, I don't know. I just want to see it.
After much deliberation, I would probably watch Justice League. I don't know. It's 4 hours long, though. And I have such a hard time with long, like really long movies. I'm kind of interested. I'm definitely interested in seeing everybody's reaction to it. But I don't know if I myself am going to watch it.
But as far as swallowing a spoonful, don't you, every time you throw up in your mouth, don't you swallow a spoonful?
I mean, it is your vomit.
Yeah, it's not.
If I got IBS, so I do that every day anyway, so.
If you let it get cold, that's when it gets gross. It's like calming that way.
All right. Falcon K asks, have you ever tried to make an in-game drink in real life?
Huh.
I'm trying to think of an in-game drink.
But last night, several times, I had to get a drink. I didn't have to get a drink. I got a drink in real life and in DRG at the same time. Like somebody was pouring drinks in DRG because certain beers give you buffs. Do you get buffs, Bobby? You get buffs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's one drink that you can buy. It's random and it rotates. But yeah, there's one drink you can get that gives you a buff in that game.
So two or three times there was confusion as to what drink I was going to get. So, but yeah, I ended up having to get both every time.
An in-game, what's a drink from a game, though? I'm trying to think. I've never tried to do that. And I know, I think it's a little more common with movies. Like, people have tried to do that with movies or...
I think, like, the most common one has to be, like, the White Russian, right? Like, when people see the Big Lebowski, they're like, oh, I'm gonna try a White Russian.
Yeah, yeah, there's that. And there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of drinks mentioned in music that I think people will start, like, when Scissor became a thing, I never really tried that. A lot of rap songs from ourselves, like a Caribou Lou or something. I look
Funky Cole Medina.
Funky.
That's an old one.
That's an old one. The Vesper.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't even name a video game drink.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually I saw mixed drinks.
I saw a funny meme the other day where it's like, when you play D&D, like as a DM, next time someone like wants to buy a health potion, like you go, do you want a health potion with or without pulp? And like you just watch the face of your player just like gross. Inquisitively go, what the fuck is a health potion with pulp? Yeah.
It makes it sound gross, dude. It's like it's blood or something. Anyway. I don't know. I can't. Yeah. I mean, there's ones that give you, there's like power-ups that you drink, right? For sure. I've played a game where you like pop a cap on something, and you drink it, and you get stronger.
What's the soda and... Fallout, is it Nuka-Cola?
Yeah, there's Nuka-Cola, there's Sunset Sarsaparilla, and then they came out with an alcoholic Sunset Sarsaparilla, and I think that's the only one I've ever tried. If you had to say, like, an exact game, like, drink from a game too in real life, it was that Sunset Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla. All right.
So I already said what I was playing next week. What about you guys?
I'm very curious about that Nox Archaeus game, but it's like over 60 hours of gameplay RPG. I don't think that's really in my wheelhouse right now. So I don't know. There's like, this is that weird time of year where not a lot of stuff is happening. So I'll dig through the backlog and I'll find something. Somebody had mentioned in chat Quadrilateral Cowboy, and that's a game that I had.
You played it.
I played a little bit of it, and I always wanted to continue it. Interesting puzzle game. Very hard to pronounce.
Nick? As far as what I'm playing, I'm probably going to play Ark. I'm really going to try to play The Last of Us 2 once I get my PS5. I'm supposed to be getting that on Tuesday or Wednesday. So
nice. All right. So. Speaking for Bobby, Nick, Chris, and myself, French titties, everybody. Je comprends un peu le français.
Un peu?
Yep.
Petit
peu.
Un peu.
Un peu.